Straight Talk on WRHI is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill, Manning Kimmel.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. My name is Manning Kimmel. The program is called Straight Talk. We do it every weekday afternoon, talking about Rock Hill, Fort Mill, Tekakee, the great county of York, and everything else up and down I-77. And we do it right here on WRHI, South Carolina's seven-time, hopefully eight-time in August, radio station of the year. Our broadcast presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy. Ebenezer Road to Camden Avenue in Rock Hill, as is highspeedweb.net that streams our signal 24/7, 365. Well, today these are the kind of shows that you don't like to do, but unfortunately it's the way we go through life.
It's a lot.
Yeah, well, we got to say goodbye to some really good people and from time to time, and one of those happens to be Bruce McKagan, who is now the officially retired director of rock. And he is here today in all his glory. He has his Rock and Roll 2019 t-shirt, and if you missed that Evening with the Stars, you missed something really big.
Yeah,
that was great. All right, Brother McKagan, here you are. The only way I know to tackle this is to start with the beginning.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah, I mean, how did you ever get to Rock Hill, South Carolina?
Whoa. Actually, after living in L.A., of course, I'm from Seattle, but I lived in L.A., San Diego, Minneapolis, Portland. I lived the industry, music industry, took me to all these different places. I was working in the late 90s for Muzak, and their corporate office was back in Seattle.
Yeah.
And long story short, we decided, the CEO, who happened to live in Charlotte, decided that it would be best that perhaps we move back to Charlotte. Charlotte went to York County went to Fort Mill. And so in 1999, I moved here to move the company a year later to Fort Mill.
So before you came to Fort Mill, you had worked for Muzak.
Yep.
How long?
Five or six years. Yeah.
And before that, you were doing anything involving music?
All music. I was the executive director for, entertainment director for a chain of restaurants in L.A., actually West Coast, 650 of them.
Oh, my God.
We had 26 different concepts, so I hired bands and DJs and video and all the music and all that stuff for all those. So I was very, you know, started off in bands back in the 70s, so always been in music, Manning. So they got me here because they asked me to move the company from Seattle to Fort Mill.
Okay. So you were in that capacity for here in Fort Mill. You were with Muzak, which eventually became Mood Music.
Yeah, that's correct.
Some merger, whatever.
And that's along that journey. You and I met each other way back as a family members.
Oh, yeah?
So that was fun. But in 2011. After the purchase by a European company, all of the executives from Muzak got let go one day, and I was one of them. So that was 2011, of which at that time I was wondering what I'm going to do when I grow up.
And then, and this is where the story gets really interesting. You happened to run into, how did you ever run into Dale Dove? How did that happen?
Well, right after, I lived in Fort Mill at that time. Right after I got let go, along with everybody else, Susan Brackett, who is a neighbor of mine, her and Kevin came down to the house and kind of put the noose around my neck. They said, Susan immediately said, I know what you're thinking. You want to move back to Seattle, your home, but you're needed here. There's too much you can do here. And I told her, look at Susan. I know you guys. I know the airport, and I know everybody at Muzak. So that's what I know from Fort Mill. And she says, but there's so much you can do. About 3 or 4 days later, we were down at City Club meeting the city manager, Jerry, at that time.
Sure,
so
sure.
Yeah. So we were meeting him, and as we're eating lunch, who should walk by the table but Mr. Dale Duff.
Oh, my God. and what, 5 hours later?
No, it wasn't at that time that we had a conversation at any length, because he was respectful of me and who I was eating lunch with. But we got a meeting like 3 days later. Then it wasn't five. It was only 4.5 hours.
But, and if you have not been subjected to Dale Dove and his passion for those who are homeless and those who need help, you really have missed an experience, because he can literally bring you to your knees. He's very, very committed.
Well, you know, I'll never forget that time, because he, so here we are sitting down and he's talking. And I got about 3 words about 3-4 hours later, I was pretty exhausted. But, you know, he was telling, you know, he was talking about purpose. He was talking about why. I was talking about his faith. And then he said, as I was ready to bolt, because I was just exhausted, he says, let's go and check out some folks right now. And he took us to a place that had about 14 tents and probably 20 people. And Dale knew almost everybody in those tents and knew them on what they were planning to do that week, the next week, and all of that. And I was amazed to hear this prominent lawyer is from the Rock Hill area that's out there in Fort Mill knowing all these homeless people. And I'll never forget driving home that night and thinking, so that's what being a Christian is all about. You've actually got to do something about it. And he did something about it. So that was my first reckoning with Dale Dove.
All right, so that's chapter one with Dale Dove.
Yep.
I would imagine there's a chapter two and a chapter three.
A couple of books by this time. Volumes, baby, volumes.
How long did it take for you to be so impacted by what he was saying, what you were seeing with him, that you said to yourself, I think I'm going to shelf this music career and do something else.
Well, it was pretty immediate, because the things that were out there that needed to be done that he made very clear, I saw what my role could be in that. I started as an advisor to him, and just getting organized and mobilizing different groups and all that stuff. And then I got on the board. And then about a year later, they asked me to be the executive director. But it was immediate, because there was things to be done. And I had been out of work for a little bit, so I was anxious to roll up my sleeves and get moving. And for the very first time, after all these years, I mean, I love music and all of that, but there was finally a purpose for me doing something.
All righty, so you elevate very quickly to the position of director of Rock. And was Rock at that time in the Good Motor Company building?
Oh, yeah.
It was
from the very beginning. I don't know. I didn't know any other place.
And what did you find when you got in there? I mean,
it had gone a year prior, because it was only about a year and a half, two years, actually, having been founded for that amount of time. The folks coming to us every day was about 40 to 50, and within that first year it got up to 100 a day on an average. So it just was overwhelming, the amount of people that, number one, needed this place, number two was what should we be doing, what's the priority, how does this work, how do we work with other agencies, what programs should we deploy, what should we leave to other agencies. There was a lot of work to be done, as there always is.
Not to mention the fact that you've got to figure out how to raise dollars to help support this thing, correct?
Yeah, I mean, not being that networked in the community, that was a challenge. And Dale and I worked together on that. And but he was a person that taught me, if you pray about it, it'll come. You got to believe that we're doing His will and His work. And that is a tough plank that I had to learn how to leave it in His hands. Doesn't mean I stop working, but it certainly means we push.
And you've managed to keep it a viable operation all these years. you're in an aging building that is beginning to crumble. And with the kind of wear and tear you're given on that building, with all those people, every time I drop by there, the place was packed. You got people all, and of course you had your bright moments and your sad moments. I mean, you know, you got a lot of adverse publicity when people needed a place to sleep during the winter, and you were sleeping them back there in the alcove with some plastic drapes and
It was either that or freezing.
Yeah,
there were moments, both highs and lows, through those years. But I tell you one thing that Dale had a dream of, it got me to have the dream, and so did this city, and that was having a single point that we could seriously take care of all of our folks by uniting and collaborating with all of the agencies. Laura Holliday and United Way back in 2008, I think it was. This was kind of before my time, but they had put together with the city a 10-year plan. And we found that 10-year plan about 10 years later and dusted it off because we needed it terribly. And back in 2008, it was my understanding the city just wasn't, and the community just wasn't ready for it yet.
And yet with the growing population, very rapidly growing, you're going to, no matter where you live, you're going to have a percentage of your population that needs this help all the time, period.
Period.
Period. Yep. So when you see the population, when I got here 30-some years ago, it was about 125,000, and we're sitting here now very close to 300,000 in the county. Yeah. That's why your numbers grew from 50 to 40 to 50 to 100 and probably even more.
Yeah. And, you know, what's interesting, you're absolutely right. What's interesting is each of the agencies really tries to do their best with getting their arms around the total issue. And it's way too big for any of us. ROC was starting to bust by the amount of work that we saw that we had to do in order to get people back on their feet. And we needed a better way of doing this, and I think you know a lot of the story. You know absolutely a lot of the story with all the sudden pathways became from the 10-year plan came something that was extremely viable, and now that is what's going to help this community make it through the next 10 years.
I often wondered what it was that kind of triggered the community to come together and start trying to dust off that 10-year plan and do something with it. I mean, it's all happened very quickly, but it is happening, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But just getting it started, you know, as you say, it was a 10-year plan. You had this group together called CASH, you know, Catawba Area Coalition on Homelessness, and they had their meetings on and off during the course of the time, but even though you had all those agencies around the table, it wasn't that triggering mechanism.
Well, I think not only the triggering, but it was also the fact that somebody had to be accountable for all this.
Yeah.
Somebody had to take charge. And at that time, CASH is a collaboration, but it wasn't. It set the task to really drive a concept and make it happen. It didn't have the funding for it. It didn't have the infrastructure for it. But it certainly had the collaborative pieces of getting people to talk, different agencies to talk. But I'll never forget, you know, and I know you want to kind of segue here, but when the Pathways concept, and it wasn't called Pathways, I don't remember what it was back then, but when the first concept happened, it was within a month to 45 days, and that board was together. And, you know, people like Eddie Brown and Courtney Denton and Kristen Ryan and
Jim Gill. Johnny Allen.
Wow.
Karen Browning.
Yes, and Emily Sutton.
Let's go.
Mike Wallace.
And then this guy who nobody knew by the name of Charles Price pops into the thing, Mr. Corporate, who is this guy? Well, this guy knows how to put all these people together and task them to get jobs done.
Well, you know, it's sitting in that room, and you sit in a boardroom, and you see all of these people that, including yourself, Manning, who on a daily basis, they are the decision makers in their realm. They're the ones that make the decisions. And to have somebody come in and try to, we call it herding cats, herding executives, excuse me, that Charles Price did was absolutely amazing that he could come in and do that. Of course, he'd spent the last 25 years doing exactly that, not internationally doing that with different companies. So he had a little of experience with the cats that he had to herd.
So from your perspective, this whole thing that's coming together now called Pathways, what is it going to mean as far as not only ROC and what it has been trying to do all these years, but also the future for this issue of homelessness, which is going to be as much of an issue here in ROC Hills as going to be in Seattle, Washington?
Ooh, yeah. Well, I really think we have a head start on it here where other communities are racing to get up to some sort of speed. But the thing that I've seen within the ROC is that because the ROC tried to do everything, we didn't do everything very well. A lot of things we did very well, but other things we were not good because we were trying to fill up holes. And what Pathways allows each of the agencies to do is have an expertise and go get it and be very good at it. And then Pathways can be the one that puts the numbers together on what each client, each person that's struggling, what they really need, and they can hand select and start a continuum of care for every single person, and every single person is unique, so that when they get to the ROC, if they're assigned to the ROC for any of the services that the ROC gives, then it's going to be they're going to be in good hands because we are the experts at that.
And with that, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Now, Bruce McKagan, who's going to Seattle.
Yes.
You know how this is done.
Yes.
And I know you won't have a chance to do this out there, so you're going to get to do it one more time here. We prepare fresh subs and salads 7 days a week here at Substation 2, and there's a magical way we do it, and I'm going to let you say it. One, two, three, here we go.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Nicely done. Back after these words.
News and information that matters to you. This is Straight Talk.
Hectic schedule? In a rush? Now you can order your favorite Substation 2 sub or salad online and skip the line. Just go to mysubstationii.com, click on the online order tab, place your order, and come and get it. That's mysubstationii.com. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Relax. Love your car payment with an auto loan from Founders Federal Credit Union. If you're ready to buy your new car and start making those unforgettable memories, Founders features an easy online application, flexible terms, low rates, 24-hour account access with Founders Online, and fast, friendly service. Visit relaxjoinfounders.com or one of our more than 30 offices to see if you qualify for membership. Relax. Love your car payment with Founders. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
Does your business need to stay better connected with your customers? With Comporium's hosted voice over IP, your staff can have one business number for all their mobile devices and direct voicemails to email, both making it easier to stay better connected with clients. And these are just two of many features which improve efficiency and productivity. Keep your business growing and stay better connected to your customers. Call Comporium Business Services and learn more about voice over IP. Or go online to Comporium.com.
Good Pharmacy, building trust for four generations.
This is pharmacist Kia Hicklin. Enjoy our spacious new modern look and take advantage of Rock Hill's original drive-thru with pickup and drop-off service.
My mom loves Good Pharmacy.
Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue, Rock Hill.
What's hot at Substation 2? The new hot beef brisket sandwich. Brisket is smoked tender beef sliced to order, served hot and delicious, and gardened your way. This is a limited time offer, so titillate your taste buds today with a hot beef brisket sandwich at Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
Substation 2. Jerry Litt across from Winthrop. Bruce McKagan, the retired executive officer of Rock, who is hanging it up, about ready to move back to Seattle. Has it been a tough time for you just to say, gosh, I can't believe I'm giving this thing up? I mean, what prompted you to do this?
Oof. Well, you know, when you're in the nonprofit and you really have a calling to be do something that God would like you to do, you give your life to it. And so that's what's happened. I've had a tendency to, when it comes to work, to give my life a little bit too much to it over the last 30, 40 years. And I think that this has been no different, but this has been with a purpose. So has it been tough? I think the process of me discovering what I needed to do next, and that is to take a breath, to really take a breath and move back to Seattle where all of our family lives, was the right decision. My wife helped me make that along with God. And you know, so because it was so clear to me what I needed to do next, this was a lot easier. And the thing is, the Rock is in very, very good hands with Iris Hubbard.
And the timing seemed to be right for you because you've moved out of the old Good Motor Company facility, which is going to be redeveloped.
Yep.
Pathways is being remodeled and what have you. So the timing was right.
Timing was, and there was never a perfect time because you always want to see things through. You know, that's human nature. But, you know, there's other things for me to do, and I don't know what they are yet. But once we get back there, they'll come.
Well, very quickly, I want you to tell about this wonderful fundraiser you did. How many months ago? 6-8 months ago. Because we left out the fact that you have a brother who you taught how to play the bass guitar, and he decided he was going to create a group called Guns N' Roses. His name is Duff McKagan.
That's right.
So you did a concert here that was just wonderful.
Well, he and I have been planning for a long time to do something to get him back here that he could help out the Rock. And that was about two and a half years, and they kept on getting other things that were priorities, and we finally were able to nail it down in January 24th this last year, this last winter, I should say. And with that, we invited some other friends that I have in the music industry, Tommy DiCarlo from Boston, P. Hux from ELO, and Gary Green from Hootie and the Blowfish. So they all gathered at this event at McKelvey Center in New York to have a concert. And it was, you were there, it was an amazing night. Guys that had just met them each other that morning that played that evening. But I'll tell you the thing that got my heart the most is that when Duff came here, usually when he goes places, I've been around, you know, the last 25, 30 years when he's been with Guns N' Roses, but people kind of mob him and want his signature and autograph. And it was entirely different in New York when we had this concert because people were thanking Duff for coming to help Rock and help York County. And he didn't feel any pressures to be a superstar. He just felt good that he was invited, and he felt appreciated that he was invited. I want to do a reach out right now to a J.C. Whiteside, who's a police officer in Rock Hill, who was also security that night in the green room. So he was down there with the axe, and he got a chance to talk to Duff on a downtime. And he was the one that really brought Duff up to speed on what's going on at the Rock, what's going on in the community. And Duff was blown away to a point where when he went back to Seattle the next week, he got with a nonprofit for homeless, and they took him out and kind of showed him some of the camps in Seattle, which is a little different than the camps in Rock Hill and York. And he was, by those two events, Rock Hill and there in Seattle, he went home and wrote and produced a song called It's Cold Outside. That song, he was able to put on an album that he released in May, so he quickly turned it around. And also the agency in Seattle, along with other collaborative agencies up and down the coast that would deal with homeless, they all adopted this song as their theme song for that community, for all of those communities. And so it's coming out now, and again, it's called It's Cold Outside. So the impact that Rock Hill in your county had on Duff when he came out here, because he wasn't focused on homeless, but he saw that and saw what we were doing back here as a community. And then he went back there and said, we can do something, to the point where I got a call from him last week. He says, Bruce, you got to come back and help the homeless in Seattle. And I went, yay. I'm not sure I'm ready for that. I'm ready for a drive back to Seattle, but I'm not sure I'm quite ready for that.
All right, sitting at this table with us is Charles Price, who is the chairman of the Pathways Board. And I'm glad you stuck around, Charles, because I think it's important for people to understand what this guy, Bruce McKagan, has done for this whole creation called Pathways, which is coming out of the ground as we speak.
Well, Bruce has been amazing. I guess he and I have known each other for 19 months now. And Bruce is always there. He is always led with Christ first. We pray often, we pause, we wait for God's guidance, and it's been an amazing journey.
Tell you what, we want to, you know, my last show that I had here on Friday, we had a Vietnam War veteran who had just moved to Fort Mill, been here 2 weeks, never had anybody say anything to him about thank you for your service. Through a long, and I'm not going to take the story up now, but we got him here on Straight Talk, and he was overwhelmed, kind of like what you're hearing here on the air right now, with emotion. People are coming in who are listening on the radio, thanking him. Congressman Norman walked in, you know, said, I want to do this, I want to do that. I mean, it's just amazing how people can have an impact on your life. You've had an impact on everybody associated with Pathways, associated with Rock, just the way that this gentleman, David McCullen, was impacted by people who just walked in. You've done a good job, Bruce. You did a great job.
What this community's done to my life, if you remember when Susan Brackett came and said, you got to stay here, there's too much you have to do here, and that was 2011. And the fact that I did, and again, I didn't know anybody. I knew Susan Brackett and Kevin Brackett because they were neighbors of mine, and I knew where the Muzak corporate office was, and I knew where the airport was. And the fact that over the last 7-8 years, I've got to know and love, and they've changed my life. If I hadn't have stopped and taken her advice, my life wouldn't be where it is right now, and I will tell you, it's fulfilled. I am at peace because I've worked with people that truly love this community, love God, and love each other, and do something about it. And that's what I need to take with me the rest of my life, and that's what I thought. And when you do that, when you devote yourself, it's emotional. You put your heart and soul into it, and so that's what we're all experiencing.
Well, Bruce, safe travels to you, my friend. I hope you always stay in touch with us. Maybe you'll come back and do a benefit concert for Pathways. Huh? What do you think about that, huh? You got a good place to do it. Well, that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Now, this is your last opportunity, Bruce, to tell everybody about it. We broadcast live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Fresh subs and salads 7 days a week right before your eyes. And Bruce McKagan, brother of Duff McKagan, on his way to Seattle, is going to tell us one more time how it's done. 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Well done, Bruce McKagan. Godspeed to you, my friend, and that's going to wrap up our program. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.